Now we'll stand for the reading of God's word from Matthew 4, verse number 24. And listen to this very carefully, because the Holy Spirit does not waste words. Everything he has included what we call the Bible or the canon of Scripture is by specific, deliberate design. There's not a word wasted. News, in other words, the stories about the impact of Jesus spread as far as Syria. Think about that, because it was pretty much word of mouth. That's the only way they got the word out. And people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. Can you imagine what this had to look like? And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. That's an astounding passage right there. So word was getting out everywhere early in the Gospels, the fourth chapter, all the way to Syria. People were coming to wherever he was from all over the place, bringing with them all those that they knew, loved, and cared about who were sick or diseased, possessed, epileptic, or paralyzed. And he said, I don't have time for this one today, so take him back home. No, he healed every one of them. That's amazing. That's astounding. It's just incredible to watch the power of God be manifested like that. Father, thank you.
Thank you,
your word is true. Yep. What you have done, you will continue to do. And as we come to the table, it's a sacred moment of renewing covenant together with your Son. We are honored that he's here with us, and we get to be with him, and we are all together with him. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Sooner or later, it's going to happen to you. The call is going to come in, and from that moment on, life is never going to be the same. You're going to get some kind of information coming to you. It might be law enforcement saying there's been an accident. You'd better get to the hospital quickly. It might come from your physician giving a report about the latest test that you just received, and it's not really great news. In those moments, you know that without a miracle, you or a member of your family, someone close to you, may not make it, may not survive. But we serve the God of miracles. Thank God. He proclaims himself the God who heals us. Boy, without that, we don't have a whole lot of hope, do we? The God who heals us. And miracles happen every day to those who know how to release the power of God through faith according to his word. Now, regardless of denomination, regardless of background, when life hangs in the balance, you're going to need a miracle. I remember when my mom used to be praying for relatives and family members who came from a very liturgical background, and they practiced religion in name only, but not relationally. But boy, when a crisis came, they knew who to call, to pray, to touch heaven, touch God, because they needed a miracle. Then they needed relationship, right? So regardless, we need miracles. And if you're here tonight needing a miracle, I got good news. I've come carrying good news to the church tonight. The God of the Bible is a miracle-working God. He's inviting all of us to release our faith and personally experience his miracle-working power in our lives. Why do I believe in miracles, Pastor? Why do you do that? First, I believe in miracles because I believe the Word of God. The Bible is the greatest manuscript of miracles ever written. There's nothing to compare with this. And if you remove all the miracles from the pages of God's Word, pretty much all you have is a lifeless manuscript. The Bible is the most powerful document ever written, and its authenticity, thank you, shows us that the God we serve is a miracle-working God, and that miracles are for us today. Praise God for the provable, manifest authenticity of God's word. The Bible is not an ordinary book. nor is it just a good book. Herman Melville's Moby Dick is a good book. And for some others here in the room, Pride and Prejudice may be considered a good book. I don't know. Anyway, the Bible is a living book. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, the written Word that you're looking at was manifested in human form. And God himself took on human skin and lived this all out in front of us. The Bible is a book that you can literally be healed as you're reading it. The Word of God actually does something to your physical body when you read it by faith and with faith. So you believe it and you absorb it, and it begins to have impact on you emotionally and intellectually as well as physically. Second, I believe in miracles because I've seen them all my life. I was raised in the home of a Spirit-filled mom who knew how to pray, knew how to fast, and miracles were a part of our lives growing up. The God of miracles demonstrated himself time and time again in the church in which I worship. I was raised as a young boy. I was eyewitness to miracles that literally, I mean, your eyes almost came out of your sockets. I mean, it was amazing watching what I watched. People who were absolutely paralyzed from stroke and in wheelchairs and incapacitated get up out of those chairs and be fully restored. Instantaneous miracles. You just sat there and you looked astounded, and people were jumping all over the place expressing thanksgiving to God. I watched God perform miracles in my own life, in my family's lives. I know there are churches and people in churches today, and pastors even preaching from pulpits, who have never been eyewitness to an actual physical miracle manifested in the middle of a church service. My goodness. You know, the likes of T.L. Osborne, Gordon Lindsay, gracing the pulpits of our church. Prayer lines going all the way. And, you know, we have a fairly long aisle here. That aisle in the church I grew up in opened up and went into another whole area that was at least twice as long as this. All the way lined up, coming down that aisle, one after another, receiving answers to prayer. I'm a witness to the miracle working power of God, not only by what I saw and experienced and witnessed. I personally am standing here tonight simply because I'm the answer to the prayers of others that God performed miracles in my own life and in my own body. I'm a recipient. I'll never forget lying in an emergency room on a table. I couldn't be more than 11 years of age, and doctors roaming around in there quickly to try to get help, and I was hemorrhaging, and they were looking at my parents and saying, "We don't know if we can save him." Well, that didn't set well with Dad, I can tell you that. He had another comment for the doc who said that to him, said, "You will save my son." My mother, on the other hand, beseeched the Lord and trusted God for a miracle, and I'm here because that prayer was answered. I'll never forget lying in a bed with pneumonia in both lungs and a very high fever and a very sick young kid, and a minister of the gospel coming by the side of the bed, anointing me with oil in the name of Jesus, putting his hand on me and believing that God would absolutely stop this infection and halt it and restore my health. Again, I'm standing here tonight simply because somebody knew how to pray and believe God for miracles. Amen? I know a God that still does miracles. I'll not forget the day when the phone rang and everything changed in our home right here. The voice on the other end of the phone was one of Donna's doctors. And when Donna hung up the phone, I could see a shocked look on her face, because the doctor said, Donna was saying to me, "I have breast cancer and it's aggressive." And the tumor was pretty good size and looked like it was growing pretty quickly. She was going to need major surgery, and the recommendation of the doctor was that she was to have a double mastectomy with reconstruction. I believe in doctors. I'm thankful for them. I appreciate their fine work. I'm very respectful of the incredible difference several of them have made in our lives. I'm thankful for the great work that one was able to do in my life, as well as in my wife's life. They're wonderful people. They've dedicated their lives to helping the suffering in our culture. But doctors are not God. They're highly trained people who think in terms of medical science. Medical science and faith healing operate in different dimensions. Medical technology is very highly advanced and continuing to rapidly advance, yet there are still limits to what physicians can do. Man's limits are God's opportunities. When medical science comes to the end of its ability, we have the opportunity as believers to step into the supernatural realm and claim the benefits that God has provided us. And one of those benefits includes being healed by the divine touch of Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And many people, you know, they apply for jobs and they're interested in hours they have to work. And some don't want to work too many hours and the kind of work they have to do and what's my salary and what are my benefits. And they want to know if they have some sick leave coming, health insurance, what vacations look like. When we make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, we sign on with an eternal employer who offers the greatest benefit package ever designed to be given to humanity. His benefits include forgiveness for all our sins and healing of every disease. He's also added, listen, this is what he's added, who redeems your life from destruction. Thank the Lord, because that's where we were headed, for the cliff. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, renewing our strength and our youth, who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When Donna received the news that she had breast cancer, we did what our family was trained to do. We did the things we knew God wanted us to do. We gathered around the Word of God. Of course, we prayed. We called our church family to fasting and praying, a Daniel fast for 21 days. And we began to fill our hearts, our minds, and our home 24/7 with the reading of healing scriptures. We filled the house 24/7. You would come in, you'd hear the word of God, healing scriptures. We began to curse the cancer in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We declared life and not death. We fasted, we prayed every single day, and when we fell off to sleep at night, we were hearing through our ears into our subconscious the promises of Scripture, God's word to heal. Why? Because the word of God promises healing. The healing power of God is released in our body when we hear, read, and pray the scriptures aloud. When we allow our ears and our innermost being to start absorbing and being filled with the promises of God. Several more tests were taken while we were waiting through those 21 days, including a biopsy, and the news kept telling us the tumors are growing very rapidly. We continued believing. We were undaunted. And we were proclaiming God's promises to us. And the date for surgery arrived. If I remember, at the end of the 21-day fast. And we did not know the date of surgery when we started the 21-day Daniel fast. But it so happened that it coincided on the last day of the Daniel fast. Thank you, Jesus. We joined our faith. We believed God. We sensed enough victory to tear the gates of hell right off their hinges, and we were believing the Lord. Donna's surgeon said, operation's going to last several hours. So while you're in the waiting room, anybody ever been in one of those? Seems hours turn into days, it seems like, right? Seems like the clock is not moving at all. And the very first enemy that we have to learn to fight is the enemy of fear. So we spoke aloud the scriptures, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So the doctor finally comes, and he asks me to step outside the waiting room and tells me, I've removed all of the cancerous material, and based on my years of experience, I believe will be verified by those who do the final lab tests, but based on my many years of doing these kinds of surgeries, I don't feel like it's spread anywhere else. I think we've seen it confined, and we've removed it from its locale. I rejoiced, and I couldn't wait to break the good news to Donna, for her to wake up coming out of anesthesia. But the best was yet to come, because in the follow-up meetings with her surgeon and oncologist, all of a sudden we began to see what prayer and fasting and believing God for the miraculous can do. The tumors had shrunk by the time of surgery and by the time the labs received the material to almost of a point of being imperceptible. The oncologist said, none of us have ever seen anything quite like this in the history of dealing with these kinds of cancers. In fact, he said, not only is there not going to be any kind of chemo or any kind of treatment, radiation, he said, because there's none needed here. He said, generally, there's a pattern of that that's given to those who have had this kind of cancer. But this has been, these tumors have shrunk to the point where in the database across the United States of America, for women with breast cancer, we don't have a category small enough to fit hers into. I have to create a new one for her because we've never seen anything quite like this before. And what is it that you guys said you did? And we had a chance to talk to the oncologist. We talked to her surgeon. In fact, he sent his number one administrator up here for a Sunday morning service. Said, I want to know what kind of church this is that prays prayers like this. And tumors, instead of continuing to grow aggressively, shrink down to the point where we almost, he said, oncologist said, we wonder now if surgery was even warranted here. Amazing. Miracles are for today. I said, they're for today. We live that. Perhaps you come from a church background where the pastors taught you that the age of miracles is past. That falsehood has been pounded into the minds of millions of evangelical Christians. And it's lulled a lot of people to sleep in their faith, thinking that I just have to cruise through life and whatever happens, happens. That has no basis of truth in the scripture. From the time of Jesus Christ, miracles have happened and are still happening and will continue to happen until Jesus returns. I am the Lord. I do not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What Jesus did along the shores of Galilee, he still can do today. There's not one verse in Scripture that implies that the days of miracles is past. If miracles were supposed to cease with the apostles, why did James, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, command the church to continue to pray for the sick? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Praise God for that promise. James did not write, you can only do this until such and such a date, and then it won't work anymore. Because the age of miracles is past. The apostles anticipated that miracles would continue forever by the laying on of hands and anointing with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. James declared that the prayer of faith would be confirmed with miraculous answers. And there's no expiration date on the prayer of faith coupon. Thank God. It doesn't say, offer good only while supplies last. Doesn't say that. Or void after 12/31/2020. It says here in the Word of God, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Yeah. Jesus said that his miracle working power is still available to us if we will believe by expressing faith to him. Nothing will be impossible for you, Jesus said. And these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Thank God for that. Say, they will recover. So the message is crystal clear. Miracles are for today, for believers. Doubt and unbelief are viruses that are waiting to kill every miracle waiting to happen. And doubt and unbelief just like absolutely slams to the ground any expression of faith. If you need a miracle, you have to conquer doubt and unbelief and release faith and say, I trust the God that created me to fix me. Amen? Don't be deceived by the lie that it takes a tremendous amount of faith to ever receive a miracle, and therefore you could never have that kind of faith. Therefore, you could never have a miracle. Every believer has been given a measure of faith, and our tiny mustard seed faith is big enough to move any mountain in your way. Even when our faith is seemingly small, remember that the God in whom we place our faith is bigger than we've ever imagined or conceived of in our thinking. We don't put our faith in our faith, we put our faith in God, because we know he's greater than anything we face. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So while we recognize the skill sets that people have, I want to remember to recognize the skill sets my Creator has. He not only made me, he can repair me. Amen? It's in this God that we have faith, and we release our faith. That's when miracles happen. Now, there have been some extremists at times in churches. I said, there have been some extremists sometimes in churches. They get off track. They get out of the boundaries of Scripture. And they add things into the mix that aren't found in basis of Scripture. Some people run around teaching two or three verses and they ignore the whole body of God's Word. Now, any foolish person can take a verse out of context and create some spiritual premise from it. Anybody can do that. You can prove from Scripture that David rode a motorcycle. Psalm 108. Over Philistia I will triumph. You can prove that the apostles drove a Honda. You can prove it. Acts 2:1 says they were all in one accord. You can prove anything you want from Scripture. You can do that, right? We can prove that suicide is God's will for your life, because Matthew 27 says Judas went out and hanged himself. Then Luke records, go and do likewise. So, I mean, you can say anything you want. You can twist the Scripture any direction you want. You would think that people would be wiser than this, but listen to me. Entire denominations have been built on a single Bible verse taken out of context. Some people believe that God heals everyone all the time, and if you're not healed, it means you don't have enough faith, or that there's some sin you're practicing in your life, or you'd be healed instantaneously. Jesus did that in his day, and he did that with deliberate intention in specific cases, and those cases where he healed them all, that was not by accident, that was intentional. Amen? So, now the other extreme is that God doesn't heal anybody under any circumstance for any reason any longer. Both of those extremes are off the charts. The fifth chapter of John's Gospel talks about Jesus visiting the pool at Bethesda. And the pool was surrounded by people who were sick and waiting for the waters to be stirred so somebody could get them into the water to be healed. Jesus healed only one man and then walked off, leaving the rest of them unhealed. Interesting, isn't it? Now, You contrast that with my text, where people were coming to him with faith, believing him, and he healed them all, versus people sitting around kind of waiting like this one guy. He approaches, do you really want to get well? I mean, Jesus has to confront him and ask him, do you want to be healed? Well, I don't have anybody to put me. Do you want to get well? So we play a part in this, in our expression, right? Because God, remember, God has a sovereign will. And his not only his promises, but his timing are equal to his promises. Elijah lived among the greatest depression in Old Testament days. I mean, it was unbelievable. You described it somewhat this morning, the terrible time they were facing because God decided to try to get their attention. Listen, if you don't understand what's been going on right now, even though we know there are people being manipulative in this whole process we've been enduring and utilizing it for their own advantage, remember this, God is trying to get through this the attention of his people once again. God wants us to be awakened, and God wants us to stand up. Amen? Now, there were many widows that were starving during the time that Elijah was ministering in this terrible, terrible drought. But God sent his prophet and his provision to one. Why? Because God has a sovereign will. There were many lepers during the time of Elisha, the prophet, but only one was healed. Why? Because God has a sovereign will and time. Paul, who had great New Testament ministry, prays for a co-worker by the name of Trophimus. And Paul was a man of faith and worked a lot of miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in 2 Timothy 4:20, Trophimus was still sick after Paul prayed for him, and Paul had to leave him behind in Miletus. Now, did Paul not have enough faith? Did he not pray the right prayer? Was the formula incorrect? Well, you can name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and dance and prance until you have blisters all over your feet, but you're not going to force God to function by some formula like he's a vending machine. God will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and we can't always have it our way like at Burger King. God has a sovereign will. Men, the man at the gate, beautiful, who was there since the time he was born, practically. He was there every single day at the temple grounds. Now, Jesus went to the temple often. His disciples were with him going to the temple regularly and faithfully. They were there constantly. Jesus was preaching from there numerous times. No way they didn't pass this guy a few times, okay? But it wasn't the right time until the day that Peter and John walked past him, and the man reached up and said, I need something to get through the day. This is the only way this guy could survive every single day, was off the goodwill of other people who would come by and drop something into his little basket. And you remember the famous words of Peter grabbing him by the hand saying, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. Get up and walk. Amen? Yeah. And the man who never walked, all of a sudden now has got muscle tone enough to get up not only and walk, but to jump up and down and then run up into the temple and set the whole place on fire. I mean, but God had a reason and a purpose and a timing because he's sovereign. We can't make God do what we want him to do. We can ask him, but we can't make him, right? The other extreme is that God doesn't heal at all any longer. But 60 times in the Old Testament, God reveals himself as the healing God. When Jesus preached his first sermon, he introduces himself as the healer. And that's the title of my message, The Healer Tonight. Miracles are not the byproduct of emotion. Miracles are the byproduct of meeting God's conditions, timing, his will. Many people feel in a time of crisis. And they think, well, if I wring my hands enough and if I get distraught enough and I stay up all hours of the night and beg God intently enough, crawl down the steps of some shrine, God will hear my prayer. God doesn't respond to that kind of emotional intensity. God responds when we meet the spiritual condition for a miracle to happen. If I take a tray, fill it with water, and stick it in the freezer of my refrigerator, what's going to happen over a few hours? It's going to freeze. The water becomes ice. Is that a miracle? No. It's the only thing that physical laws of nature are going to allow to happen. When the water in the tray reaches a temperature of 32 degrees and goes lower, it's met the physical condition of freezing. The water changes from liquid to solid and remains in a frozen state as long as the temperatures are maintained. There are physical laws in the natural realm, spiritual laws in the spiritual realm. The spiritual laws govern how things work in the supernatural. Physical laws are subject to spiritual laws. And a miracle occurs when supernatural power is brought to bear into the natural realm. Then God imposes himself and shows himself mighty in spite of the physical laws at work. All four Gospels record the miracle of the loaves and fish. Jesus has been teaching to a crowd of 5,000 men, plus family. It's late in the day. The disciples come to the master and say, "Hey, look, we need to send these people away so they can get to the villages before everything shuts down and buy themselves something to eat." And Jesus said, "Why don't you feed them instead?" Okay, why don't you feed them? The disciples can't figure out what to do. They certainly look around at each other and they know they don't have enough money to buy enough food for all these people. And the only thing now that turns up is this little boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he presents them. They were his kind of his packed lunch for the outing to hear Jesus preached. I'm sure his mom packed it really well for him. And instead of keeping it for himself, he hands it to the disciples. And they give it to Jesus. He said, "Well, this is all I have. You're welcome to use it." But they took what they had to Jesus. And he gave what he had to Jesus. And he told a large crowd, Jesus did, to sit down in an organized and orderly fashion. There's a little hint as to some of the things that we need to start doing when we're looking for miracles. Instead of flying off the handle and getting all emotional, we need to sit down in an orderly fashion and start step by step by step doing exactly what God asks us to do. Amen? He organized them so that the distribution of food for everyone to eat would be done in a way that was organized and it wasn't chaotic. So he blesses the loaves and the fish, and he tells the disciples to distribute the food to the crowd. And when Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and the two, you know, I want to hear some of these prayers he prayed. And they're not always recorded. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. I want to hear some of them. When he blessed the bread that we're going to, again, take tonight. When he blessed the cup. When he blessed the loaves and the fishes. And to hear him pray a prayer that had to be so punctuated that it broke through into the heavenlies at the throne of God and released the supernatural ability of God to multiply. And he hands the disciples back the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in this basket. And he gives it to them and says, "Okay, guys, I blessed it. Now go feed the 5,000 plus, probably spouses and kids. There could be 10, 12, 13,000 people in that crowd. Go feed them." And when the disciples start moving through this organized crowd of people sitting on the ground, they're holding a basket with 5 loaves of bread and perhaps a second basket with 2 fish. And someone is handed one of the 5 loaves to start the process of eating. The disciples look back into the basket. Now there's 6 loaves still remaining. When he distributes the 2 fish out of the basket to others, they look back. Now there's 4 fish still in the basket. They hand out another loaf. Now there are 8 loaves in the basket. People are being fed, and as they're taking out of the baskets, the food keeps multiplying. There's more and more and more in the basket. Probably Peter looks at John and says, "You better go see if anybody's got some more baskets, because we're going to have a lot of leftovers by the time this process stops." I mean, this is crazy. I mean, and I've taken a little liberty here, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful to the Word of God. I can't tell you exactly how that happened that day, because the Word doesn't show us that. I'm trying to imagine how Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, enough food to feed upwards to 13, 14,000 people. I do know this, when Jesus prayed and the disciples acted on his word in obedience by faith, God's supernatural law of multiplication smashed the natural law of subtraction to smithereens. And all of a sudden, everybody's fed, everybody's full, and they've got 12 baskets full left over. Man, that's my kind of new math. Right? When God goes to work, it's amazing. And the same thing happens in miracles of healing. Sickness and disease operate according to physical laws. But the physical laws of sickness and disease are subject to the spiritual law of divine healing. For example, cancer cells multiply and spread throughout the body because that's how they work in the physical dimension. When cancer spreads until it destroys all the healthy cells and can no longer be removed successfully or treated while in your body, then there's not a lot of hope left because the medical procedures have run out and they think now you're probably terminal. That's how cancer works in our bodies, because cancer operates according to the physical laws. But remember, when Donna was diagnosed with breast cancer, we cursed the tumors in the name of Jesus and fasted and prayed, believing we serve a God of miracles. The physical laws of multiplication of cancerous cells was underway. The tumors were growing. They were getting larger. Every test showed them to be even bigger than the last test. But we broke that process by the power of God, and he shrunk those cancerous tumors till they were almost imperceptible. By the time of her surgery, they could barely recognize them. Why? Because physical laws are subject to spiritual laws, and miracles happen when we meet God's conditions. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That's a promise from God. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then he writes, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Because sometimes physical illness and brokenness inwardly are attached. There's been a lot of study done on that by a lot of physicians and medical science. And when you've got emotional upheavals and stuff going on in your life, physically, sometimes that manifests. It comes out of you in ways that damage through inflammation, functions of the body. But thank God he heals not only the physical, external expressions of physical illness, but he heals the core, the brokenhearted, and binds up their wounds. It's awesome, isn't it? That's the difference in a guy like Dave Reaver, Colonel Friedman. Damon was sharing, he said, you know, I can't sleep at night. So I've tried all kinds of means and ways and gotten into positions where they now do an analysis of my sleep habits. It's all internalized stuff that I had to do and experienced in war. He said, left scars and damage. And it manifests in ways that are troubling. He said, so I'm in the process of allowing God to heal not just the outward manifestation of what's going on and how to sleep better, but he gives his beloved sleep, I told him. So that's a promise from God. He said, I give my beloved sleep. God's able to heal us internally so we can properly rest and our bodies can heal. So don't ever think that you can separate and segment all parts of yourself and keep them off from each other. No, they all interact and work together. We are body, soul, and spirit. And all are impacted by the things that we experience in life. So some physical manifestations are the result of some internalized pain, difficulty, unforgiveness. Oh my goodness, creates a whole level of illnesses in the digestive system that doctors now have been to treat symptoms. But what's got to be treated is the heart. When the heart gets healed, a lot of those things begin to resolve. Praise God for that. That's why in my text, you see all the categories of people that were brought to Jesus. That's not by accident, because these folk had all kinds of illnesses, all kinds related to all kinds of issues they were suffering in their lives. Now doctors have finally validated that some people have literally died from broken hearts. We used to hear about that and wonder, they died of a broken heart. Now it's physically proven that that happens to people who are under great duress over something that's happened that's so tragic that their heart stops functioning and they die. Their heart's broken. The Word of God is the basis for every healing and every miracle. The Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. And it heals us. Nothing is impossible when we believe, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's God's Word. That's where healing comes from. So let's lift our hands. Let's give thanks to God. And let's be grateful to a God who heals us and restores us and renews us. Come on, lift your hands and trust Him. You are the Lord my healer.